back to It'll Be Okay for our Westworld Season 2 discussion. We'll be discussing episodes 5 and 6 of Season 2. And my name is Adam, also known as Drown Snow on the podcast of Ice and Fire Forums. And I am joined by Matt.
Hey, it's Blue Armor on the forums.
And Hannah.
Hey, Shadow Baby on the forums.
And maybe the ghost of some other people in the machine, who knows. All right, so yeah, these were two very different episodes, but pretty intense. Before we get to episode 6, the last episode, which dropped a couple bombs on us. So we finally got all the way to Shogun World, which was great. It was pretty much exactly what I expected. I mean, not a lot else to it, but yeah, it was. I do love how Sizemore just kind of lazily copied everything from Westworld. Which was nice, but there was, there was some good depth and amazing sword fights. And what'd you guys think?
It was fine.
I mean, it's my personal favorite episode. I mean, just because I like the. I like the setting. It kind of goes back to, like, pretty much my favorite book I've ever read is Shogun by James Clavell. So it was kind of like seeing that, you know, come to life a little bit in a way. And it just had everything I was looking for with it, with, you know, the various characters and, you know, granted the duel didn't come until episode 6, but still, like, some good action sequences and just the incredible dance by Rinko Kikuchi at the end with, and then just slaughtering that guy
Violent. Right, exactly. They definitely sound like this is for the people who think Westworld is for the weaklings, you know.
Right.
Which, you know, and because it's all out of control, they don't have to explain how the security measures work with the blades or anything, you know, with guests there, which doesn't make sense.
Right, yeah.
No, and I think Bina had asked, like, hey, where are all the guests? I'm like, I think they're all dead. I'm pretty sure they're all dead at this point.
Right, yeah. They at least showed, like, dead bodies of, like, security guards there. You know, they would,
yeah.
If there were any guests there at the time, they would have probably, you know, either they ran away or right. would have been murdered by this point.
And this is, I guess this kind of jumps forward to the next episode, but I think it's so hardcore that, like, all the other access points we see kind of rise up out of the ground and they're elevators and they're real cool. But the access point in Shogun World is just like a chute to dump parts of people and dead bodies.
Dump the dead bodies, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like a chute for the dead. You're like, oh, dang. They just run them through, I guess.
They probably have to clean them up, you know, a lot more regularly than the other parks.
Yeah, but I liked meeting, you know, Musashi, and then, you know, he was our, he was like what the equivalent of Hector, kind of. He had his little band, and they're robbing the casino, and everything's the same. I thought that was a brilliant bit there.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Made it easier for them. And I know they actually used some of the Sweetwater set, and then kind of built around it to make this set.
Yeah, I mean,
they had.
Yeah, I mean, you could tell as they were walking in. I was like, that, you know, that's the street. Obviously, looked familiar.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it was meant. They wanted to make it like kind of an authentic, like Edo type architecture, but also. To sort of mimic the Western architecture they had before. I think that was intentional. And not just, you know, because that was, you know, easier to do, but they spent quite, I mean, they, you know, the costumes, like, they really put a lot into it. So I do wonder, you know, how much more of that we'll see. It's quite an expensive thing to do, I would think.
But, yeah, I mean, I guess, yeah, just going from interviews. I mean, this is like episode 5 was kind of like the main one they're doing there, and they, you know, clearly wrapped up mostly that storyline in episode
right.
6.
I wonder if we'll see more like soldiers or people from different, you know, parks kind of, you know, meeting in the middle sort of thing. They haven't really given us a good map of, you know, of the world.
I know.
So
yeah, we
no
can
idea.
Talk about that later with the cradle and stuff.
But yeah, we get Akane, who is the, you know, Shogun World equivalent of Maeve, and her kind of adopted daughter Sakura, and that whole interesting storyline. I do love how every time Sizemore was like, "Well, that doesn't happen here. Wait a second, that doesn't happen. No, right. No, that's not how I wrote it. Like, do you know this is like off the rails? Come on." And then they found a way to nerf Maeve for an appropriate amount of time, which was a bit crazy. But yeah. I guess it makes sense, like, the way those guys are programmed. Like, oh, she's a witch. But then he's like, you can't let... No one can hear her but me. And then, like, they all destroyed their eardrums. You're like, what?
Yeah. Although he then proceeded to, like, give them vocal orders, like, later on in the scene.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was a little... It was a little off.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was... You just needed enough to kind of believe that there was peril.
Yeah, it didn't matter.
Yeah, it was great. And then... One of the big reveal outside Shogun world in that episode, I guess, was Dolores reprogramming Teddy.
Yeah, that was a fun bit, an interesting turn, and it's very amusing that in the exact next episode she's like, you know, the Job style, like, oh God, I've made a huge mistake.
Right. Hello, darkness, my old
friend. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
I've been rewatching some of that recently.
Oh my God, you got to see the new one.
Right, I'm waiting for the... When does that comes out, like, at some point this week? Oh, it's today.
Yeah, midnight.
Oh, okay.
I just got done rewatching the recut of 4, and I thought, okay, I'm done, and then it was like, play next episode. I'm like, there is no next episode, and sure enough, it was after midnight.
Yeah.
It was really funny, too. I was giggling.
Yeah, I'll definitely check that out.
Was there anything else that jumped out about Shogun World that you guys want to talk about? I mean the dance, and I thought there was a lot of good kind of character building with these new characters, and the score and all that, but, you know. I mean, this is just sort of an aside, right?
Means right. Red dance, the red dance. Well, it means, like, dance of Akane. But it roughly translates to red dance. So I thought that was kind of...
Oh, okay. I was wondering what that title meant. Because I looked it up, like, you know, a week or two ago and couldn't really find a good translation.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
With the Edo period, it's from, like, 16-something to, like, roughly, like... 1840, so coupled with the stuff with the Raj, like, I guess they're all trying to shoot for sort of 19th century culture. It's just one thing I noticed. Like,
I do think
so remote in the past that you have
Have three more parks. So I do think we'll get, like, the medieval or, like, the Roman world or whatever.
I don't know if we'll actually see them.
Yeah, right, I don't know if we'll necessarily see them. Certainly not this season, but, like, I do think that those will be what, you know. Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah.
A future world. Does that
right, but that would be hard. Like, it
really
would have
expensive.
It would have to be more, just because, like, this is already set, you know, in our future. Like, so it would have to be more of, like, a space world. Like, I feel
right,
like
maybe
they would do something like exactly like a space station or something like that. And I was thinking about this the other day where, you know, we might not necessarily see him just because I was also attributing to how they choose their parks based on, you know, what they're trying to, like, sell. Whereas, you know, you have, like, Shogun World, which is, you know, just pure fighting and violence, if that's what you're looking for. And Westworld kind of has, just like a mix of, you know, interactive atmosphere and gunfights, you know, where less hand-to-hand stuff, as you would get in Shogun World. And then Raj World kind of seems to be the more, like, people looking for, like, a lavish lifestyle. Type stuff and, you know, being served and stuff like that, where I think it'd be kind of hard with having medieval world, you know, something like that, where it'd be such a similar experience to Shogun World. It just seems, like, odd that they would have both those, like, kind of, you
maybe.
Know, same parks and having both those things.
Just you can be, strange. Like, the noble knight kind of either way, or...
Right. Like, the only difference is you get to wear armor in one, like...
you wear armor in both of them, just different
armor. Right, yeah, more like, I guess, the heavy steel. I guess, yeah, you could do jousting, but I don't know.
Lobster and steel, as we know, is the best. Right?
Yeah, so yeah, I was just thinking that we, you know, we may not see much of the other parks, I'm not sure. Unless there is, like, a space one.
Yeah, I don't know.
Just a thought.
But yeah, there's a great featurette on HBO after the episode that just talks about the production design. If you're interested in any of that, I think it's like 10 minutes long or something. Mm-hmm. It's really good. It's got the director and some of the actors. And they're talking about how the actor that plays Musashi, what is his name?
I got here, Hiroyuki Sanada.
Yeah, he's actually in real life a master swordsman. Like, he grew up like in the Japanese cinema. And yeah, he saw people, you know, in samurai movies, and he was like, well, I want to be able to do all the own stunts and everything. So he's like, you know, like one of like the like highest class, you know, you could be as far as like, you know, swordsman in Japan or something. So,
you know, that duel was top notch. I mean, you'd be hard pressed to find anything, you know, better than that outside of like actual martial arts movies.
If we're gonna take this kind of side trip here, you know, definitely it's something great to take out of it. And I guess as far as the larger plot, the main thing that we're seeing is that is kind of like the exertion of Maeve's control, her ability to, I don't know, like, you know, that it's still there and how she's able to do it and, you know. Limits and all that ways. You know, she didn't speak the language at first, and then kind of got screwed, and then came around on it. But it wasn't, you know, wasn't all powerful. And then she just, you know, now she can use the Wi-Fi to control them. They were on, you know, 801.11b, and she's on G. You know, just had to connect. That's all. Yeah, sorry, nerd humor. Okay. So then we move forward to episode 6, which is still confusing a little bit to me, but we open up, let's see, it opens up with the familiar conversation that we've seen through season 1, right? Bernard and Dolores, and then suddenly it turns out that Dolores is fidelity testing Bernard. What's going on? Or not Bernard Arnold, sorry. What the heck?
I know. That particular stuff, they're just, like, making the shit up as they go. Where it's just, like, they've, you know, they just kind of, like, had those scenes, you know, in the last season, and then this season, they decide to actually, like, use them and make them part of the timey-wimey plot. And now they're just going full nutcase with it. I mean, I don't think we'll fully understand that until maybe the very end of the
season. Yeah, they're not going to pull all that together till later. So, I mean, I guess it makes sense that he was part of this either by himself or because Ford was trying to. I mean, I would be curious as to the motivation, if it's him or if it's Ford that really, really pushed that, you know. And then I guess maybe at some point Ford gave up and just decided to build Bernard out of the shells of Arnold.
Yeah.
What we're supposed to take out of that. But, yeah, and then you know, at the very end of that, we get the reveal, which I guess we kind of saw coming, that Ford is, you know, in the Matrix and still running things. So, which makes sense. But I also thought that I assumed from season 1 that that's probably where Arnold's been, too. They're both in there kind of doing stuff, so I'd be curious, you know, how much they're working together when that started. Because they were very much, or at least from what we've been told, they had a disagreement, right? So, like, they weren't working together at one point, which is why it's, you know, kind of supposed to be a shock at the end of the season when Ford is actually, like, you know, Chaos Master, you know, behind all the, you know, pulling the puppet strings. I'm just curious when that shift happened.
What did you make of the fact that William thought that his daughter was a host at first?
I mean, that makes sense.
That's so William, right?
That seems a good, like, you know, logical assumption on his part to, you know, second guess whether or not, you know, it's really his daughter, especially if she hadn't, like, been to the park in years.
Yeah, but
like, I didn't see that coming for sure. Like, I didn't see him thinking. I just assumed that he'd go, oh, hey. I didn't think he'd assume she was a host. But you know, I don't know. Is that a thing they've done before to him? Or
no, but I mean, but Ford's been messing with him this whole time. So.
Right. Yeah.
So that's kind of my paranoid point, though, is like the fact that he leapt there. I personally feel like, I don't know. I think that there's like a Black Mirror, like San Junipero type situation going on where.
You think he's already in the Matrix?
No, I think like, I think we'll find out later, like the host, or not the host, but the shareholders, like everyone that has been killed since the end of season one that are supposedly like real people. I think we'll find out that they're not actually real people. That, what? I don't know. I think,
As in what, they, like, send their, like, you know, send some sort of avatar themselves? Like,
yeah, that's what I think.
The whole Westworld is just VR?
Yeah, I kind of feel that way, because, like, there's little snatches of hints where, you know, with Delos Sr., where they were trying to make him into a host, and then he's thinking his daughter is a host, Bernard Arnold is a host, like, clearly
yeah, I hope
it's
not
possible, because, I mean, to make a host out of a real person, and
everything they've shown is that they don't work.
I know, but the whole thing with, like, the train, like, they keep coming back to it with the welcome people, where they have said it, like, it's been in two different episode previews, and said it during at least one episode, the line from the beginning where we see William enter the park for the first time, and he's like, are you real? And she goes, if you can't tell, does it matter? And I just think, I kind of feel like they're building to something like that, which on the one hand I get, but on the other hand, I feel like narratively it's more of a cop-out than anything too.
Well, I mean, I do think that there are more of the like human hosts, whatever, running around, at least one more. But I don't think it would be on that scale.
I feel like the hosts that we're seeing as real hosts, like the Doloreses, the Maves, part of why they're becoming disrupted, I feel like what we will for sure see is that they are based on real people that were at one time alive. They're not just, like, created out of nothing. I don't think that. I think that their DNA and stuff is based on real people. People that, like, either, like, you know, when you donate your body to science and shit, like, that kind of thing.
Yeah, no, yeah, that part, like, makes sense with, just, like, yeah, in terms of how they created the technology in the first place, they probably mixed, you know, machine with human DNA. That would be a kind of a not unexpected plot point.
Because, like, with the animals, it's one thing to just get, like, oh, bison DNA, oh, dog DNA, and then you can make as many copies as you want with a few details changed, but
human DNA, they just completely rebuild them. Like,
you mean the animals?
Yeah, like everything in the park's built from scratch, you know.
No, I know, but if you wanted like a pack of dogs, right?
Yeah.
It would be way easier to just get some dog DNA and 3D print based on that blueprint.
But then so, they put, like, a computer in it.
But you have to have, like, a basis for that, and I feel like...
Yeah, the biological component has never been well explained, I think, purposefully.
But with humans, it's, you can't just cut and paste. And I feel like it would be way easier to just find real people's DNA to work off of than trying to make a human from scratch.
Oh, and that's what I'm saying. It's like, do we even know if they use DNA or how? I mean, because like that, like sinewy, muscly stuff, like the drone hosts are made out of. Like, what is that? We have no idea.
Hmm.
Like, we don't know if it's necessary. It does. If their blood system or anything works anywhere near the same way as ours does, or like it's, well, they've left it so vague.
Yeah, I don't even think that they're totally sure yet either, though, because, like...
Yeah, that's what I think.
It's critical fluid now, but, like, when have you ever seen one of these things get shot in the head and it looks like anything other than like brains and blood and guts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't see like white sheet splattered on the wall. So where's that? I feel like
we don't need an explanation, you know, yeah, at the moment. So we don't have one, right?
Cause, yeah, because it's not important to
the if overall, at some like, point if at mystery. Some point it were important, they'd figure it out. But it probably never will be.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I mean only time will tell. You know, whatever. I think it was cheeky that Dolores decided to go ahead and make love to Teddy.
Okay, so this is still Teddy. This is something someone else pointed out. Is that Westworld is shot? It's 16:9 format, right?
Oh yeah.
But the scenes with Dolores and the Arnold clone or whatever are presented in, you know,
yeah, like
2:4:1, which is like the anamorphic like widescreen you see for a lot of movies.
Yeah, and that's what the cradle is.
That's what they're saying. That was the same as when Bernard enters the simulation. So, meaning that the fidelity test could actually just be part of the simulation, and that could be simulation Dolores like happening now, or something, which would be a whole other mind. Blown situation.
Right, yeah. So yeah, just, I mean,
that would call into question whether like it's programmed to be Dolores or it's programmed to be whoever he sees. And why would he see Dolores?
Well, because he'd spent all that time with her having those conversations, right? Like when he was trying to get her. Well, his egg would have, right? The I don't know at what point they record the egg.
Right, but we at least see that, you know, he had, in the second episode of the season, where we saw, you know, definitive proof that he had an attachment to Dolores, so, when he was still alive.
And why, like...
Allegedly, it's all allegedly, we don't know.
Right, I mean, the assumption is that, you know, she was one of the first, if not the first, you know...
This whole show takes place 2,000 years in the future, where aliens have us hooked up into a real matrix, and this is
Well, that's what I'm saying, is, like, it totally seems to be along this trend where, like, I don't know, I think at one point, like, Marie had mentioned it to you guys about, like, altered carbon, the stacks, you know?
Yeah.
There's a trend in media right now with shit like that. Black Mirror's been doing it too.
Mm-hmm.
And
I mean, yeah, but I mean, but
literally when Marie mentioned that, I literally was like thinking the same thing. Like it's so altered carbon.
Right. Yeah. So I mean, I guess
a group think that we have about AI and the future right now. So I wouldn't be surprised to come to find out that like this is some sort of more dystopian future where it just sparked a thing in my mind where the people that are supposed to be like quote unquote real humans, I'm not convinced that they are.
Right. It's just the whole, like the only problem with that is that, yeah, it's just that with, I mean the whole point of kind of showing that, you know, the James Delos thing in what episode 4, is that it seems like that they weren't quite able to master actually fully, you know, transferring someone's consciousness into like a new body, like they would an altered carbon. And if they had like perfected it, it would have only have been just recently within the past year or two. So I think they can certainly kill and replace people if that's what they're trying to do to influence the outside world. But
I mean, even the it seems like the last test of Mr. Delos was recent, and where he went, you know, crazy and has killed everyone. So
yeah,
I mean,
that was
but also, behind the I scenes. Mean, but that though that construction of him was post mortem, as far as I could tell. So perhaps.
Well, I think the whole thing was that he submitted himself to brain scans and did all that stuff. Before, like, when he found out that he was dying, right? And then, so that's, because that's why when they ask him, he's like, oh, I guess I didn't make it, huh? You know, they're like, nope.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know, they don't really go into that, but, you know, I mean, I don't know, but I think it would be kind of dishonest to the viewers to do it that way, where it's like no one's real. Though.
Yeah, but he's like their beta person though, and what I'm talking about is more like layers within layers. Like, we already have a lot of, I mean, in just my lifetime alone, cryogenic preservation has been like a thought and been trying to be achieved and tested, right? Like, virtual reality has been trying to be tested and achieved, and it's all about preserving yourself, right? So perhaps I could be way off base, and I probably am, but it started this line of thinking for me, like, what if we live in a world where the elite are able to sort of live preserve themselves from something? So their mind and their body are live, but being housed in some sort of safe place. And this is a playground to basically exercise their mind rather than like what we would think about like hypersleep if you're going on some long space journey, so that, mm-hmm. you don't become mad or frozen. You have sort of playground where your psyche remains active, your soul can remain active in some way, but the avatars we're observing are
mm-hmm. that's the life on Mars.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm not a writer, so I don't know, but
there are a lot of, you know, things that they could potentially do with this, but I mean, just going off of what they've given us and, you know, what they're trying to hide and all that, I mean, I don't know, it's hard to say, but I think what is clear is that
that so many people would die and they wouldn't just like send the army in. Do you know what I mean? Like,
well, I mean, because the confusing thing to me is that like, you know, they're concerned about like starting over, right? So I think they're still trying to keep it kind of quiet, but I'm like, yeah, they're gonna have a bunch of people dead, but they're operating off the coast of China, maybe not a lot of rules.
Presumably,
what does he say? He's like, oh, we've lost a third of our IP, and I'm like, he's like, we can't get them back. I'm like, oh, you're just trying to, like, the other ones, they're just trying to, like, he's like, yeah, look at them and see if you can, you know, see if you can get them back to something usable. I'm like, wait a second. Like, you just want to reboot them and put them back into service? Like,
yeah,
I did not think that was an option.
Like, they don't seem to be perturbed by the loss of, quote-unquote, real life. And how many fucking, like, guests and shareholders now have we seen be killed? I mean, that's an ass load.
But you also have to think, like, it's mostly their own employees that have been killed. So, like, guests, how many guests are in the park at one time? Like, I don't know, a couple hundred, you know? I mean, it's meant for the super rich. But, you know, they've got hundreds and thousands of employees, and the board was there, and, like, you know, but that's all kind of internal, I guess.
I got the feeling that you didn't have to be mega rich necessarily to visit the park. I mean,
well, didn't he say it was like 20 grand a day or 40 grand a day or something?
Yeah, but we don't know.
And that was 20 years in the past.
Do you know what I mean? Like, that sounds like a staggering number to us now. But when you think about it, okay, how much would an all expense paid trip to Disney World cost you and your family for a week?
Like 5 grand for a week?
Like, yeah. 5 grand
a week, right? Much less.
I'm not very rich, so to me, that's a crazy amount of money that I would never be able to spend on a frivolity. However, I live with among plenty of people who, for them, that wouldn't be a lot of money. But they're not uber rich. They're not
right, millionaires. But see, what you're talking about, but there's a difference of, like, how much does it cost to, like, have Disneyland to yourself privately for the day? You know, 100 grand, 50 grand. Like, that's what we're that's the difference, I think, that we're talking
right,
about.
Right, but I mean,
there are people that can do that right now.
That's, yeah, you know,
versus just visiting. Right. I think that's what we're looking at.
Also, I mean, think about in 1904, 20 grand, that's like a $2 million today, right?
But no, I know you're talking about inflation and stuff, but like I said, said in the first season, which is like in the past when he's with Logan, which is, let's say that's not too far in the future, they said it was like 20 grand or 40 grand or something a day. It was something, it was quite a lot of money a day, right? And then you got to think that that's 30 years ago, 40 years ago. So obviously it would cost more now.
But again, 20 or 30 grand at that time within the show could have not been a staggering amount of money.
But it does feel like the past when the park is beginning is not that far removed from where we are now. Like, that is the impression they give.
Maybe.
Because, like, even Logan says, like, no one has this anywhere. Like, what the hell?
Do you know what I mean? We never
they don't give us dates or anything.
Like, pre-based version of it. We get this very isolated version of it. And only just recently have we gotten that. So we don't really know.
I think leaving their little world in the park, which is what a lot of people are interested in, is kind of dangerous for them anyway. Showing, you know, if all of a sudden you get out in the world and it's a dystopia and there's rebels in the streets, you know, like, it becomes a completely different thing, right? So that's not the kind of story they're trying to tell. I think it's more of, you know, what is consciousness and what is life? And, you know, it's the story of, you know, we create things and, you know, it's the classic robot. And, you know, mm-hmm. we created it. Is it alive now? What constitutes that? And I think the biggest issue this season is going to be, I mean, it's weird because you have the Dulles executives would show up with like 5 people and like a few soldiers, like, let's take back the park. And like all the hosts are dead. But now we found that a third of them, you know, are wiped, or, well, they actually said that it looked like there never been a host of them at all. So I would think that more likely means that about a third of the hosts were maybe Dolores' crew or something, and they've all got new bodies where they put their eggs into new bodies or something like that. Maybe not. But we get Bernard 2 weeks later, and this whole time he's been pretty useless, confused, doesn't really seem to understand what's going on. Pretty much the only bit of information he gives is that he killed all of the hosts that are in the water, which, you know, doesn't really answer much. So he kind of acts confused. And I thought, well, okay, this must be someone else. And the theory, I think, after the first few episodes was, well, we see Teddy's body. He seems to be obsessed with Teddy. Maybe it's Teddy. And now that we see that we've got, you know, Arnold left behind, maybe, you know, in the cradle or whatever, perhaps this is not Bernard.
You mean Robert?
Arnold. Hmm?
Do you mean Robert when he sees
Well, Ford is in there, but I think that because we see that fidelity test, I think that regardless of when that takes place, I would assume that would mean that there's a backup of Arnold in the cradle too, right?
Yeah, Ford would have definitely kept him around.
And because of the stuff going on last season that seemed to be, you know, they talk about Arnold, I think that points to me that he's in the system. So maybe this is, you know, him, he gets reincarnated into a Bernard body. And that's why the 2 weeks later, Bernard is like, doesn't have any idea what's going on. But he doesn't, also doesn't have the bullet hole on his head, the scar on his head. It's a fresh body, and he's not having the same problems.
To me, I'm like inclined to overthink it, just because the whole man versus machine, us playing God, creating machines, they rise against us. I don't know. To me, it's like, been there, done that. I'm a huge Terminator fan, so I've already experience that, you know. I find it a little bit boring, I guess. Yeah,
they'll
add some just time that.
Traveling.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I don't know. I have really mixed feelings about Westworld. It's why I'm not like crazy needing to jump in on every single one of these episodes, just because.
Are you not? You're not enjoying the season?
I didn't really like last season either.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with
you.
Yeah,
it didn't blow my skirt up. Really, it's good. It's a fine show, but yeah, it's just it was definitely not what I thought it was going to be based on the trailer. And it's like, I'm with it and everything, but I feel like it's a lot of times too slow of a burn and pretty predictable. I found the first season to be crazy predictable, and I didn't enjoy it because of that. All these, like, quote-unquote bombshells that they dropped. I'm like, yep, I knew that was coming. Yep, right. I knew that was coming. Like,
I don't think there were that many big reveals in the first season. I think the main one was, you know, that Dolores killed Arnold and that, you know, William is in the past with, I mean, which, I mean, people, I think, saw that coming after a couple weeks. I think it was less about, I mean, they tried to have that, you know, as kind of a secret, but I think it was less about that and more about kind of hiding some of the other things that were going on, you know, because if you show all that, it kind of tips your hand towards, you know, the whole Ford going wild and what the maze is and yada, yada, yada. So,
yeah, I don't know. I thought it was going to be a little more cerebral, a little more out there, you know, than it has been for me. So,
it's way more cerebral than they let Game of Thrones be. I mean, yeah. You know what I mean?
I'm not saying
they still have to. They still have to play to the main audience, but
yeah, I'm not saying it's inferior to necessarily anything other than itself. You know what I mean? It's just like everyone's like, I can't wait for the second season. I'm like, I can wait. I'm okay.
Well, we waited 2 years, so you know. I mean, it was
I mean, so yeah, I mean, I agree in general that overall just season one didn't work out in the end just because, I mean, it was kind of a story, you know, that you were enjoying as you were going along because it was, you know, kind of built on mystery and you assumed that they were going to, like, you know, end it with, in like a logical and cohesive way. And they just, you know, and they kind of failed in that, besides the, you know, the final scene with Ford, which was, you know, a great climactic moment, but a lot of the other stuff just kind of fell through the cracks with, you know, dangling plot threads, and learning that, you know, they kind of did a major rewrite halfway through filming. It's understandable how that would happen. I wasn't as excited about this season until like I saw the trailer, and it really got me. And overall, I've been really enjoying this season because, I mean, even though there's still, you know, flaws in logic here and there, I don't mind them as much. And I like how they're not trying to hide a whole bunch of things like they did last season. They're pretty upfront with, you know, most of their timeline stuff. There's only kind of a few confusing aspects of it, whereas last season was way too focused on, you know, being mysterious rather than just writing an entertaining TV show.
Right. I think this season's been a lot better, and especially, I mean, I just think as the season's gone on, it's like the first episode or two was a little iffy, but as the season's gone on, it's gotten a lot stronger.
Yeah, I mean, 3, 4, and 5 were just such a solid block of episodes.
I can agree with that. I think it's getting better, but
yeah, I mean, they also say
I think 6 will be a lot more of a enjoyable episode once you see maybe 7 or 8.
Right, it's just a classic transition episode that's really just building up to the giant.
You knew they were shifting to something, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it was teased. Well,
I'm curious, is where you know, we see Bernard, Arnold, whatever, on the beach. Like, where is it? Like, where's Elsie? Where's all of our favorite people? Where's Lee, the narrative designer, the most important character on this show?
Yeah, like, especially with Elsie, just because she's in the spot that's about to be attacked and undergo a huge gunfight. And although I'd be real, I was already annoyed with the last season, how they, you know, left her fate up in the air.
I thought he choked her out, man.
Yeah, I thought she was dead.
That's what it seemed like. Yep. Yeah. And then they decided, nope.
So yeah, to bring her back and then immediately kill her would be really obnoxious and annoying.
It would kind of suck. What about the upgrade that Teddy got? How did you guys feel about that? A little uncomfortable.
I didn't care.
I mean, it's just fun to see him, you know, act in a different manner.
I felt bad for the guy.
So certainly, and it's also clearly just not going to work in the way Dolores wants it to. So I mean, no he's matter just what,
shooting people in the head.
Yeah, no matter what, he's gonna be like her weak point. And we'll see how it plays out in the end.
She needs to go back in and tweak it a little bit.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's.
Have to admit, I was confused at the end there when he gave him the bullet on the train, and that, like, they uncoupled the train, and I was like, right. he's just falling behind. I'm like, he can just walk the rest of the way. Why does he need to shoot himself?
Right. Yeah.
And then I was like, oh no, he's on the front of the train there.
He's the battering ram.
never mind.
Yeah. Although that was really dumb because like they've made a point where like each, you know, group they're following kind of has like a tech person that's been, you know, helping the group out with various things, and for them to like kill their tech person seems dumb.
I guess they've got it down for some reason.
Right. I mean, we
have no idea what their plan is.
Yeah, they could theoretically pick up a new one. But I mean, there's no way that she wants to destroy the cradle outright. Like, she has to be, you know, wanting to use it for some purpose. Even though the people in the 2 weeks' time think the cradle is destroyed, there's no way it can be.
Just for narrative purposes. That's the other thing is like
the cradle is all of us.
Wouldn't everything just come to like a grinding halt?
Yeah, that too.
I think that's the thing where I just don't find it completely fascinating.
They said the cradle's not supposed to affect the park systems. It's supposed to just be a backup.
Okay, but like that's my thing though too with just everything is, what is the end game here? People like. It's like with Maeve, okay, he keeps telling her, like, you can find your daughter, but you're not going to like what you find. And then, lo and behold, like, she's surprised that they've written a new mom for her daughter.
Well, that was just dumb, but, like...
Do you know what I mean? It's like, and they keep telling, like, Dolores knows, like, she's never going to get out of there. What the fuck's the point? Like, I just don't know. That's why I feel like there has to be some umbrella type... other thing going on to make some of these desires and goals within them a little more valid other than just the question of what is consciousness. I mean, we can debate that in a psych class or a metaphysics lecture. I don't need a
Most
show.
Most people won't be in either of those things.
But do you see what I'm saying? It's like,
yeah.
We can talk about that till the cows come home with no definitive answer, and that's my real life. You have to give me a little something more to now make it entertainment for me beyond my real life. Mm-hmm. My real life is already these questions. I don't want more frustration with these questions.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be these people getting out and, you know, integrating into society or something, you know, or not, or, you know, I mean, I don't know. We'll find out.
Yeah, no, I agree with you that, yes, like, we're clearly expecting, you know, there to be some major moment kind of at the end of the season. And it's fair to be hesitant because, you know, they didn't necessarily deliver in the first season. So you're worried if they're going to be able to deliver at the end of this season. And the only argument I have for you is that, you know, they seem to know a little bit better of what they're doing and have more direction. Yeah.
And that's good. And I mean, ultimately, if it's just, you know, hosts and people playing cops and robbers and the Game of Thrones within the park, that's fine too. But don't try to mask that with any more mystery and intrigue. Give me that at face value and let me decide. Yeah. That's something I want to participate in. Either way would be fine with me, but right now, usually I like a slow burn, but it seems to me like this is just too slow of a burn. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I mean, I personally don't see it, but sure.
Well, and I also
they're
feel...
just giving us so much else right now.
There's
been like three straight episodes with, you know, big action. Yeah, I mean, like, they're giving us a lot of other stuff to enjoy.
That's kind of how
a lot of character focus, I guess. Like
the first season was a lot of fluff with some big beats that they had obviously planned out beforehand, but a lot of going through the motions, expositing, just filler type things.
Mm-hmm.
That, I don't know, it didn't do it for me, and I feel like we're kind of in the same pattern now in certain ways. Like,
yeah, we are. I just enjoy
that we're not spending the time to develop any one certain character to the point where I'm really vested in them. You know, like, I don't care about Dolores because from everything that everyone's told me in the show, she's not even real. So why the fuck do I care about her? I don't care what happens to Teddy. He's a machine.
Well, you're not very progressive with that thought versus AI.
Yeah,
Hannah. they are people, and they could be. I mean, I think that's the issue, is it's going to be hard for humans, a lot of humans, to ever view these people as real, you know? Yeah.
Okay. Now, don't get me wrong. If I was, say, a guest at Westworld, I certainly wouldn't be killing anyone or raping them. First of all, it's not in my nature anyway.
Then why would you be there?
I wouldn't abuse them just because I could. That's not in my nature anyway. And I would have a certain amount of respect for the fact that, yes, it's not real, but it has been given programming that allows it to sense pain. So I eat fish, and I feel like that's fine because I don't feel like fish have as high a consciousness as, say, a mammal. But I also don't feel like it's cool to torture your fish. You're going to eat it, kill it quickly, kill it cleanly, eat it. You know, use, if you're going to kill anything, use all the materials you can use from it. That's just
humane. But if it's a plastic fish, would you set it on fire just for fun?
No, but again, I think that's more about, the bigger question is not like what is consciousness and what is has the value of human life. That's about to how it affects you as a person, the things that you do. It's not always about how it affects the thing you're doing it to. It's about the corruption it brings to you. So I
right,
can
but how it affects you is all about how you view the thing itself. I mean,
not necessarily though. Like, I can kill a spider and know that it's just some insect and it doesn't have some deep consciousness or a family.
Right, but someone else can kill that spider on accident, and they believe in never killing anything and that all life is precious, and, like, they could be, like, completely shook by that.
Well, I believe all life is precious, too, but I don't kill the spider for fun, for funsies, you know what I mean? I don't think that killing is fun. I don't think that destruction is fun, and it's not because my destruction has consequences outside of me, it's because my destruction has consequences within me. To view any sort of destruction as fun or, you know, a lighthearted walk in the park, that corrupts yourself. So I don't
know. I mean, but we have a huge multi-billion dollar video game industry that would disagree with that. You know what I mean? Like, plenty of people take, you know, enjoyment in, you know, blowing things up and shooting digital people in the face, right? And, you know, most of them, it doesn't turn them evil. And they don't feel like they're, you know, becoming, you know, bad people. I mean, you can debate that.
I'm saying that, guys, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that anyone who does these things is evil. I'm saying that that's my view of it. I'm not assigning my feelings to anyone else or saying that I'm right. But to me, like, as a watcher of the show, I don't care about Dolores. I don't see a reason to. However, if I was within that world and she were a real AI, you know, organism in front of me, I would not necessarily care about her, but I would care about how my interaction with her would reflect on myself and my soul.
I don't know that we're supposed to care about Dolores anymore. I think that was part of the trick and the shift. You know, in season one, you're supposed to care about her, and then you find out that she's, you know, kind of, you know, a bit of the villain in the story. You know, it's just tragic and all that. And really, you know, the shift is to Maeve, and, you know, what's going to happen with her. I think she's kind of the real heroine of the story. How do you not care about her?
Like, I just... because I don't, they're not real.
Then why are you watching? But, well, none of it's real. Like, that's the whole supposition. It's a TV show.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not explaining myself well, I don't think, but...
No, I think you're explaining yourself just fine. I'm just, yeah, I just, with that explanation, I'm surprised you're still watching.
I mean, I think, well, I'll always watch anything, like, I read the Twilight series, and those books are the fucking worst. Most terrible.
I don't know what to think of that.
I'm using literature fast and loose, if I use it at all, in reference. But I read them because they were so fucking popular at one time that I wanted to be able to understand the pop culture references.
So you have a deep-seated fear of missing out.
I wouldn't say it's deep-seated, but I do like to be able to...
I mean, there are some things that I'll watch or I'll read just because, yeah, everyone's talking about it. I mean, that's how that's how the human animal works, right?
I'm in for the long haul. I'm hoping it gets better. I'm hoping it gets more exciting for me. I'm hoping it... and already this season it has. I mean, it doesn't feel like a chore, which I kind of thought it might do. And I waited like 3 weeks it was out before I watched one, you know, so.
Yeah, like I said, you probably did yourself a service by watching the first couple episodes together instead of
I actually watched, out. I ended up inadvertently watching them out of order.
That's confusing.
My DVR, like we switched service providers and finally got DVR, and I thought that it said episode one, season two, and apparently it was like the third episode. So I watched that first. It didn't make a lot of sense, but I was like, okay, whatever. Goodness. Then I realized, like, oh shit, that's actually episode whatever. So I go back and I'm like, okay, now I got the first one. Great. Nope, turns out it was episode two. Like, I literally ended up watching them all out of order. So the first like four, I think. Four was the first one I had seen in order.
Mm-hmm. Good times. All right. Let's see.
That much. Oh, anyway.
Just make sure there's anything. Matt, you have anything else?
I mean, it's just kind of like, how much do we want to like try and, you know, get into it? Yeah, and speculate about the cradle and all that. It's just that's kind of like
we'll find it when we get there. I think it'll come together, and it'll probably, whatever it is we're imagining, it'll probably be let down, but that's okay. Yeah, they're just letting our imaginations run wild, and it might shoot themselves in the foot.
Yeah, so, and I would say, just because the one thing I'm still worried about is kind of the Ghost Nation thing, just because, like, that...
Right.
Like, we just have no... Like, we have don't even have, like, a hint as to where that storyline is going, and that scene at the end... With Maeve and them was just so awkward and not well written.
Yeah, so that was the other thing that we did mention is that, like, they haven't really done anything bad that I can tell.
No, they were just let the
people go. It looked like they weren't even there to like murder them. Maeve's daughter and stuff. It looked like they were reaching out.
Come with me. We're going to the same place.
He was saying we're following the same path or something, and she was just like, she was, you know, having PTSD and was like, screw you.
Yeah, I think it was just poor.
What is the deal with him to begin with? Like, we don't know either.
No, I mean, my guess is that they have some sort of spirituality or whatever kind of associated with either the cradle or whatever the main MacGuffin they're trying to get to. That's probably going to be the climactic end of this season, that whole thing that William built. I mean, I assume all the storylines are going to converge on that area of the park.
And glory.
Whatever that thing is.
The Valley Beyond.
So yeah, I assume like built into their programming, the Ghost Nation like has some like myth or something about that area, and like that's where they're there to serve to take Maeve to that part of the park, and so that she can meet up with all the other storylines.
Yeah, if it just ends up being like the four corners of Westworld where all of the parks meet, I'm gonna be upset.
Right, it's the whole thing where it's a show like this is all based on how it ends, and so we have to hope that it ends satisfactory to us with this season. But I mean, that's just that scene in particular. I think it was just poor writing to create some suspense where, like, the Ghost Nation was, like, clearly there to just meet up with Maeve or whatever. So there was no reason for them to, like, ride in at a charge. They could have just, like, slowly walked there and be like, hello, and then no one would have started shooting. It was just silly.
Yeah. All right, then. Well, we will find out in a week's time or so.
I guess the one thing we didn't mention was just kind of the interaction between William and his daughter was really good. That was kind of like the highlight of episode six.
Yeah, so is she going to die? He just left her to die.
I think she can take care of herself just fine.
Maybe.
I mean, she might die. She won't die until the end. If she's yeah. gonna die,
right. It won't be just episode. Out in the wilderness for no reason.
Right. Yeah.
For sure. Well, I like how he says to her, like, "Oh yeah, sure, you came from blah 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 all the way here without a scratch on you," and like. She didn't feel the need to mention that a tiger mauled her off.
Yeah, she's like, "I fell into the river and everything. Come on."
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Like, also a great meta commentary on how, like, how are these characters surviving these things?
But, like, he also keeps screwing up and getting, like, nearly getting killed, and, you know, because he's used to the god yeah. mode, you know?
So, yeah.
That's, like, where are they getting food from? Because if all the animals in these parks are the same AI things as the hosts.
Well, but I'm sure they have grain and vegetables and things.
I mean, they would have to have various sources of food for the guests throughout the park.
Do you ever see anyone actually eating?
No, that's a good question. Is I wonder boring. If it's well, they have, we've seen people drinking plenty, but I wonder if you could like slaughter one of the buffaloes and eat it. If it's that level of like. Bioengineering, that is a good question.
No, they would probably simulate you hunting it, and then they would bring out, you know, if you wanted to like cook it. They
but doesn't that ruin the immersion? Like, you know,
whatever.
These are questions that we're not meant to ask.
Yeah,
we're not. It doesn't hold up. So, all right.
Like, yeah, we can't spend the whole time like deep diving into logistics of this because we're not gonna it's not gonna end well for us.
Yeah, and I gotta go figure out if someone ruined my truck or not. So. All right.
Yeah, I would, on that point, like the main difference, because you know, I would comparing this to the last season of Game of Thrones, which I really hated their logistical inconsistencies. I found like kind of my rule of thumb for this is just like as long as it doesn't negatively impact like the protagonists and the people I'm cheering for, I don't care. Like I'll let it
just
slide.
Like the host, you have a as switch in your brain you can turn off for that
necessary
stuff.
Necessary cameo. I'm
yeah.
Great. Ed Sheeran, episode 8. I'm calling it. Okay. yep. All right. Well, thanks for joining us, guys. And let's see, we've got 4 more weeks left, I guess, right? So we'll probably try to do the same thing. We'll see how it goes. Unless, like, one of these episodes is, like, compelling. We got to do a one-off on it, you know, real quick or something. But,
Yeah.
All right. You guys have a good night.
All right, you too, man.
Thanks.